Hey, Jared Morris here. If you know anything about Rainmaker Digital and Copyblogger, you may know that we produce incredible live events. Well, some would say that we produce incredible live events as an excuse to throw great parties, but that's another story. We've got another one coming up this October in Denver. It's called Digital Commerce Summit, and it is entirely focused on giving you the smartest ways to create and sell digital products and services. You can find out more at rainmaker.fm/summit. That's rainmaker.fm/summit. We'll be talking about Digital Commerce Summit in more detail as it gets closer. But for now, I'd like to let a few attendees from our past events speak for us.
For me, it's just hearing from the experts. I mean, this is my first industry event, so it's awesome to learn new stuff and also get confirmation that we're not doing it completely wrong where I work.
The best part of the conference for me is being able to mingle with people and realize that you have connections with everyone here. It feels like LinkedIn Live. I also love the parties after each day, being able to talk to the speakers, talk to other people over here. First time, people have been here before.
I think the best part of the conference for me is understanding how I can service my customers a little more easily. Seeing all the different facets and components of various enterprises then helps me pick the best tools.
Hey, we agree. One of the biggest reasons we host a conference every year is so that we can learn how to service our customers, people like you, more easily. And here are just a few more words from folks who have come to our past live events.
It's really fun. I think it's a great mix of beginner information and advanced information, so I'm really learning a lot and having a lot of fun.
Conference is great, especially because it's a single track conference where you don't get distracted by like, which session should I go to and am I missing something?
I mean, the training and everything, the speakers have been awesome, but I think the coolest aspect for me has been connecting with both people who are putting it on and then the other attendees.
So that's it for now. There's a lot more to come on Digital Commerce Summit, and I really hope to see you there in October. Again, to get all the details and the very best deal on tickets, head over to rainmaker.fm/summit. That's rainmaker.fm/summit.
A lot of people aspire to write a book. Maybe you do, but you probably know it's a complex process. Zero to Book is documenting the journey from start to finish, so you can learn how to take your book from an idea to a published product. Listen in as best-selling author Jeff Goins helps Pamela Wilson go from zero to book.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Pamela.
So I'm kind of in launch mode now, and I wanted to talk to you about some of what's going on with that. I've took your advice and went out and contacted a bunch of people, Seth Godin included.
So, fun.
Yeah. He made no guarantees, so I have no idea if I'll hear from him, but it was just, you know, it was like a really good exercise to reach out to someone who felt like a little bit of a stretch. I think we should all make ourselves do that on a regular basis, you know, because the thing is, it's kind of scary to send those emails, but then when you talk to them, you realize they're people just like we are, and they're usually very nice, so you don't really lose anything by reaching out, and you have the chance to really gain something big. So I'm glad that you suggested that. I would not have thought of that on my own, so I appreciate that, and we'll just see what happens. But in the meantime, I've gotten some blurbs and some endorsements from really great people who have said some amazing things so far. So that is super heartening and really good to see.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. And I totally agree that you should constantly, I think, be putting yourself in front of people that maybe you're a little bit scared of introducing yourself to. Just once in a while, on occasion, doesn't have to be all the time, because every once in a while, somebody will say yes. Somebody will give you the time of day and you'll go, wow, I never would have imagined this. And I agree that just the discipline of doing it teaches you things much more than, oh my gosh, if they say no, I'll be devastated. As long as you don't have that kind of mindset and can be consistently reaching out to influencers and, you know, people who are kind of at that next level, I'm often surprised by how many people actually respond.
It's amazing. And then, of course, it inspires you to do the same thing for someone who reaches out to you, you know?
Absolutely.
It's just kind of good good karma. Mm-hmm. So, and then the other piece of it that I wanted to just mention is that it does feel really weird to get to this point where your book is basically done. And in order to get those endorsements, you have to send your book to these people. And in many cases, they're people whose opinion you value and who you have admired from afar. So it feels a little bit like showing a baby photo to someone and really hoping that they think your baby is cute, you know? Yeah. So that's been interesting. And then, you know, getting positive feedback from those people, of course, is super encouraging as well.
To me, it's kind of like... you know, like when you guys were naming your kids, did you tell people what the name was before you had the baby?
It's funny. You and I talked about this, about how it's a good idea. Yeah. to not share the baby name, but to make that decision on your own. Yeah. So this feels a little bit like, you know, because at this point in the process, like, I don't want to be going back and changing anything on that book. It needs to go out into the world, and I just, you know, I want to feel good about it. So it does. It feels weird. It's like, okay, here's my finished baby. What do you think about it? So it's nerve-wracking, but exciting at the same time. Yep. And the other thing I wanted to ask you about is, I'm now looking at the launch, and I have a general date. I'm hoping to have it out at the beginning of October. And I'm wondering, once it's available for sale, do I need to have some Amazon reviews on the page already?
I think you want to get some reviews up there as quickly as possible. So when I self-published my first book, You Are a Writer, So Start Acting Like One, this wasn't a traditionally published book. With a traditionally published book, and maybe with Amazon now, where you can do pre-orders, you can do this, where you can let people review the book before it officially launches. I think there's like a 2-week period now where you can do that. But when I launched my book, you know, that aside, when I launched my book 4 years ago now, 2012, you couldn't do that. But I knew that reviews were social proof. I mean, we all know this, you know, as marketers, and that what you want is you want to demonstrate to your potential buyers, to your readers, that other people are already reading this and you should join the crowd. And one of the best ways to do that, I know anybody that's shopped Amazon knows this, is you want to have social proof in the form of customer reviews. And those are gold for any author and for any book. And so regardless of whether or not you kind of seed the book page on Amazon with reviews, you want to be getting those up there as quickly as possible, even if it's within, you know, the first few days of launching. And again, the reason for that is once you've launched, people are going to start checking it out, and you want them to see that people are reviewing it and that they like it and all of that. And I think the best way to do this is to put together a launch team of anywhere from maybe 50 to a few hundred readers. And I've done this for every one of my book launches, and the numbers are pretty consistent, you know, the way this sort of converts. I mean, basically, what you want to do is you want to give away a certain number copies of your book in exchange for an honest review. It doesn't have to be a 5 or 4-star review. Just people are going to tell you what they think. And that's kind of it. Like, all I want you to do is read the book and leave a review, and that's your commitment. And I'll give you, you know, a free book for that, or, you know, something. And a lot of times people will blog about it. You know, they'll become kind of your street team about it. They'll help you launch the book. And I think this is just a great way for anybody at any stage of the game to be able to put together a little team of people that can help them promote their work. Because everybody knows a few people, you know, if you're working on a book, you've got some people that are in your corner cheering for you. And so I like asking those people to go leave reviews on the Amazon book page. And you can give them the book in advance, you know, say 2 to 4 weeks in advance, and ask them to, you know, blog about it, tweet about it, and leave a review. And if you give away 100 books, about half of the people will actually read them and respond, and about 30 of those of people will be like really engaged, hardcore, you know, into it kind of thing. So if you want 100 reviews, then you should give away 300 books, you know, just kind of playing the math of that. Now, there, because somebody will ask this question, I want to just anticipate objections here. There has been talk about authors doing this and getting reviews deleted and, you know, people running contests and saying, hey, if you leave a review, you know, we'll give, you know, give a $100 Amazon gift card. Anything like that, Amazon kind of looks down on. And yes, there, if this is not a book that was purchased on Amazon and Amazon knows that, then they can look at those as suspect and delete them. But I've done this for every single one of my books and never had a review deleted. Again, because I'm not doing anything underhand. I'm saying, hey, I'm going to give you a book for free and I'd like you to review it and I'd love for you to post it on Amazon and then Barnes & Noble, wherever else you want to do it. And the best way to do that is to tell people who are reviewing it, I received in the review, have them write, I received a free copy of this book in exchange for an honest review. And you'll see, you know, on my book pages or, you know, any author's book pages, you'll see people kind of leave that little disclosure. And I think if all of your reviews are, I gave away a free book, then obviously that doesn't look great. But all you're trying to do is just kind of kickstart it.
Right.
Begin the conversation and hopefully people will read the book and respond. And there are ways, we can talk about this, there are ways to get readers, you know, book buyers to also leave your reviews as well. But that's, yeah, I'm a fan of kicking off a launch with at least a few reviews. Worst case scenario, you give, you know, away 100 books and you could just do digital copies. It doesn't have to cost you anything. And when the day it launches, you know, tell people, hey, you need to be reading this, da, da, da. And then on the day it launches, say, hey, go leave a review. That would really help me. And a lot of people just do it because they want to help you.
So I was going to ask you about that then. I know there are verified and unverified reviews. So I'm thinking right. Unverified reviews are reviews where Amazon doesn't see that that person has purchased the book.
On Amazon.
Keep on in mind, Amazon, right?
You could go to Barnes & Noble or a used bookstore and go, oh my gosh, I love this book. I, you know, want to go review it. And obviously, you know, the place that most people are reviewing books and products is Amazon.
Amazon. So, but as far as you know, they aren't necessarily weighing verified reviews higher or heavier than unverified, right?
Yeah, I don't know. And this is like trying to guess about the Google algorithm or something. I think, you know, you deal with this a lot in your line of work. The people who are going to quote unquote win are the people that are not going to try to beat the system. So you're not trying to beat the system. You're just saying, hey, like I know that reviews matter and there's two ways to get reviews. One is to give away some copies of books for free in exchange for an honest review. Nothing wrong with that. Fully disclose that and that's no big deal. Two, once people have read the book, ask them to review the book. I mean, bottom line.
In the book itself, right.
In the book itself or email everybody because you gave away some bonuses and you've got their email address. Just say, hey, would you mind leaving a review? I can't tell you how many times, one, I've talked to other authors about this and said, hey, did you ever ask people, you know, when you sold 1,000 copies of your first book, did you ever ask people to just leave your review? They would go, oh, no, I never thought of that. Or two, yeah. When you ask readers, hey, would you mind go leaving a review? And they would go, oh, yeah, I never thought to do that. Yeah, that'd be great. Like literally people will email me and they'll do this with you, Pamela. Hey, I loved your book. It was great. Really, what did you love about it? Oh, da, 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 da. Awesome. Hey, just curious, did you post this on Amazon? No, I didn't think of doing that. Well, if it's not too much trouble, would you mind doing that? Well, sure. You get 100 reviews just doing that. And 100 reviews of a book on Amazon is a big, big deal.
Yeah, it's interesting because I've been exploring that KDP Rocket product that Dave Chesson told us about. And it's so interesting to see because the product brings in data on how many reviews a book has and whether or not they're verified, how old those reviews are. So you really can see how reviews make a big difference. Mm-hmm. And I know as a buyer, you, that social proof is some of the most important information on the page as far as I'm concerned. It's like you're looking at the rest of it going, okay, this is what they say, but let's see what everybody else says, right?
Yeah, well, I was at Powell's in Portland, the biggest independent bookstore in America, the other week. And I was looking at all these books and going, oh, this looks great. This looks great. And I was like, yeah, but – and I pulled up Amazon not to see if I could get it cheaper, but to read the reviews. And
oh, that is so funny.
Actually a good book.
So you're standing in a bookstore reading reviews on Amazon to try to decide if you should take the book to the cash register.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that is awesome. That is awesome. Okay, well, thank you. That's super helpful, and it clarifies that whole topic for me, so I have a better idea of what to do going forward and then what to do on an ongoing basis, which sounds like I just need to be harvesting reviews at all turns.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. I mean, I think the number one secret here is the way that you get more book reviews is you ask for them. Build a launch team, try to get at least 50 to as many as 200 or 300 people to agree to read your book within a certain time frame. I think no more than a month advance notice you want to give people because they're just going to procrastinate at that point. Less than that, you know, less than a couple of weeks, it kind of feels like a rush, but I'd give them, you know, 3-4 weeks probably to read the book, leave a review, use like a Facebook page or something to kind of facilitate conversation. Keep in mind that if you've got a tribe, as you do, Pamela, this is a really cool opportunity for you to interact in an intimate way with the people who look up to you and admire your work. And this is just kind of a fun thing. And it's really neat to see your work get into early readers' hands. These people tend to be big fans. And, you know, just get initial feedback from them that can certainly help with, you know, the marketing of the book, just in terms of, hey, I read this and I thought, da-da-da. And you go, oh my gosh, like I didn't even think about that. We got to, you know, put that on the website somewhere. So it gives you some really good early feedback just that'll help you with the messaging of the book. Because, you know, as much as we're doing our diligence here with the work that's, you know, just kind of the year of work that you've done with preparing to launch this book, you still don't know how people are going to react until they read it, until you get it into real readers' hands. And so once you start to see people interact, it'll give you feedback on how do I even talk about this book? What are the things that appeal to people? What are the problems that this book solves that I didn't even anticipate? And I guarantee you there will be some that you'll get from this launch team. Also, you can leverage that launch team to, you know, blog and tweet and leave reviews of the book when it's time to do that.
So here's a question then. If I decide to create like a private Facebook group for the launch team, and that launch team is posting all these, you know, all this feedback about the book, is that kind of going to waste because it's all on a private page?
Good question. Ask it again.
So what I'm saying is, if I create a private Facebook group for the launch team, for like the street team who's really going to be out there looking at the book and reviewing it, and they're posting feedback about the book, but it's all happening in a private Facebook group so that nobody else who's connected with them can see it on their Facebook stream. Is that going to waste? Is that PR that could be going to waste?
Well, so, okay. So it's like saying, okay, so it's political season, right? And it's like saying, I'm for, you know, team whatever. And the candidate says, okay, let's gather in our, you know, headquarters, and everybody gets together and they just start talking about the message, and they go, well, here, you know, here's what's working. Here's what's not working. Okay. Here's our message. It is this. And then everybody goes out and they plaster that all over, all over the world saying, hey, this is what my candidate is about. The candidate now has an understanding when they step up on the stage, this is what I need to focus on. And the street team, you know, they've got the posters that they're, you know, so to speak, putting on the telephone poles and such. So the Facebook group is the campaign headquarters.
Okay.
Where you kind of hand out the manuscript and you say, everybody read this and tell me what you think. And people go, gosh, you know, I really like this. Or what about this? And did you think about this? And you get, hey guys, here's what our promotion plan is for the book. Do you have any ideas or things that you think we should be doing or shouldn't be doing? And they go, yeah, you know, why don't you think about doing this and doing that? and you go, oh, that's a great idea. Let me put that in there. And when it comes time for you to say, okay, guys, it's book launch day. Would everybody tweet about this? You know, click this link to tweet about it. Everybody's bought into it because they've read the book. They've given you feedback on the book, and now they're, you know, now they're ready to go share. And what I do when people give me feedback by way of email or Facebook group is sometimes really strong reviews or endorsements or whatever, I'll just save them. And then when the book comes out and then go leave a review, I'll just say, hey, remember when you said this? I'll send them a message or something, an email, and say, hey, remember when you said this? Oh, yeah. Hey, would you mind just copy and pasting this into Amazon and leave an Amazon review? Like, would that be that difficult? And they go, oh, yeah, sure. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Campaign headquarters. Now I get it. That makes sense. That makes perfect sense. It's, you know, it's basically a place to speak privately about things that people will then turn around and do publicly.
Right.
Okay. Makes sense. So last question, I am planning to record the audio for the book. This was actually something that people requested of me in the Book Factory. I think they've heard my voice on this podcast, and they kind of feel like, you know, I don't want to hear someone else reading this book. I want you to read it. So I am game. I'm totally game for that. I think it would be a lot of fun. And what I'm wondering is that something that you did for your books?
Did I record my own audiobook?
Well, did you do an audiobook, first of all, audiobook version? And then if you did you record it yourself?
Yes, I've done audio for all of my books. Some of those have been self-published audio where I've either self-published the book and kept the audio or, you know, done the audio myself, which was for my first book. And then for two books, I worked with a publisher and they bought the rights to the audio and worked with them on that. And then the last, most recent book, The Art of Work, I sold the book to a publisher, but I retained the audio rights because it's pretty easy to put up on Audible yourself. And I did that all myself. But what I mean by that is I went into a studio because we live in Nashville and there's a lot of, you know, home recording studios and paid like, I don't know, $1,500 or something to have somebody record all of it, mix it, and convert the files into what the standards that ACX, which is Amazon's Audible friendly self-publishing service that you use to publish your audiobooks. So no, I haven't done the thing where you like sit in front of your MacBook or whatever and just kind of speak into your podcast mic. However, I know people have done that, and as long as you know you're willing to kind of read through some of the fine print on ACX about here are the sort of standards that we have for the audio, and you know you can deal with that. I don't think it's a bad idea.
So you read your own book. That was actually the core question. You read your own book. Okay.
Yeah, I've read all my own books.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, I think hearing the author, I know I listen to a lot of audiobooks. And when I listen to an audiobook that the author themselves reads, there's just this sense of connection that I think it's hard to get from a narrator. As great as that narrator may be, you know, hearing the author in their own words and, you know, reading their own words and using their own inflections is just, it adds this level of information about the book content that I don't get when I listen to a narrator. And I should probably tap you offline to figure out what studio you used because I don't have a problem using a studio. And we do live in Nashville, which is quite the city for finding studios to record in. I have an audio editor set up, so I have a relationship with someone who's going to handle the audio editing and has done audiobooks and knows about the standards they have to hit and all of that. So it's the physical recording process that I'm working out right now. So
The hardest part of it is not the equipment, not the editing. It's being able to read through your own book, which you've written, without screwing it up. And the reason I like working with audio engineers like live in a studio is because literally, like, I can't get through a paragraph without messing something up. And they're there to sort of coach you on pacing and breathing. This is the, like, this is so hard to just know, oh, I have to breathe. And when do I stop and take a breath? And how do I not breathe into the microphone and all this stuff? And it, I think it's really helpful to have somebody in the room and say, hey, try that again. And, you know, like, you kind of stumble through that a little bit. And you know, reading through a 200-page book, how long is your manuscript? How many words?
It's going to be, it's about 55,000 words. In the format I've selected, it's coming in at 185, which is not, you know, that's not an actual, page counts can't end in an odd number, but that's basically, you know, text pages, 185. So it's a fair amount of words. That was my follow-up question, was how long did it take you? How many sessions did it take you to get through reading your whole book?
So a book that's about that long, it'll take 2 or 3 full days.
Mm.
And the hardest part of that is your voice will just start failing. I mean, it'll get really scratchy. And so we would do, with The Art of Work, which was about 55,000 words, I think, which was the longest book I've written. My books are typically shorter, like 40,000 words. Those took about 2 days. With The Art of Work, it took like 2.5 days. Mm. And it was like each day was about 6 hours.
Yeah.
It's exhausting.
I was going to say, it must be hard to do it for longer than about 6 hours.
Yeah, it's really exhausting. And you're recording. I mean, the final product is going to be, I don't know, between 4 and 6 hours, depending on how fast you read. That's just, you know, that's a lot of reading. And it's a lot of breathing. And I typically stand so that, you know, I'm not sort of, you know, restricting my, you know, windpipe at all. And I mean, it's like, you know, like if you were a singer, you know, it's like performing for 2 days straight for like 6 hour concerts. I mean, it's crazy. So yeah, it's a lot of work, and it's frustrating how much, at least how much I would just kind of trip over my own words, as if I hadn't like written this book and read it like a dozen times at that point, just, you know, through editing it. But that, you know, that'll happen if you're in your office by yourself doing that, you go, well, like that was okay, you know, but then when you go back and listen to it, it's going to be frustrating. And if you didn't, you know, if you got to go back and punch it in, it'll sound different. And
right.
So having at least somebody there with you, even if you're still using your own home recording equipment, I think is really important.
Okay. That's great advice. Yeah. Because I'm in the middle of figuring that out at this point. And we do, I mean, we're so lucky to live in this city that has so many options for recording, so many people who are really gifted in that area. And I feel kind of like I need to take advantage of that. So that is all I had for today. But since we talked so much about reviews, I am hoping that if you're listening to this podcast, that you will take just a moment to leave us a review on iTunes or on your favorite podcast player. We would love to hear what you think about this podcast. We appreciate everyone who listens, and we appreciate the comments and the reviews. It's always good to read those and see those. Jeff, thank you.
Thank you, Pamela. It was fun.